As some of you know, I mentioned 2 weeks ago, I was away last Sunday. Joyce and I, my wife and I, we went to San Antonio, Texas for a few days. Our nephew, Graham, married his high school sweetheart, Taylor, and they had planned for their wedding date to be February the 29th, so they could only celebrate an anniversary every 4 years. They made that commitment 18 months ago, and so did we, and then the composer weekend came and landed on the same Sunday. But I would have you know that I was able to watch live streaming both the morning worship service, only one this time, not three, and also the concert. And I must say, we owe a great deal of gratitude for Mark Hayes for a life well lived, his concert with us as a composer, a musician. He has devoted his life to Christ, to the arts and sacred music, and to the church, and we were blessed by his presence. And I look forward to the next composer weekend to be able to enjoy our great choir and youth choir and our musicians. The sermon this morning is entitled, One Word, Integrity. And as we come to the reading of the scriptures, let us pray. O Lord, now open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read, and your word is proclaimed, may we hear with joy what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 5. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And I read beginning in chapter 5 at verse 33. It's a section concerning making oaths. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On this day in which we have come to install new elders and deacons, I can assure you the sermon is much shorter than it was at 8:15. I learned to edit in the other services this morning. But I have only a few minutes for this morning, and so I'll do my best. I want to share with you this morning briefly that integrity is one of the key ingredients to being an effective leader. That's true whether you're an officer in the church, a parent in the home, or a good citizen in this country. Integrity is a key ingredient. In the New Testament this morning, I could have picked 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy, the third chapter, you can read it later, 1 Timothy chapter 3, it lists 7 qualities for a church leader. And all of them are around the issue of integrity at every part of one's life. There are many scriptures I could point to this morning about integrity and leadership, and this one from Matthew's gospel about letting your yes be yes and your no be no is as good as any. We know this, the call of individuals to serve as church officers, it grows really out of a basic understanding of the responsibilities of membership in the church, just basic membership, being a part of the church. Every one of us, not just these officers, is called to live a life which is a demonstration of the gospel. We try to do that by serving eagerly, by giving generously, and by being what I would call time tithers, giving our time to the church. But we know in doing all of that, we live in a world of great compromise. There are a lot of people, you may know this, there are a lot of people in our world who think nothing about being dishonest or cheating in some area of life or doing an underhanded deal under the table. And when that happens, when life breaks down for them and they find themselves angry or in conflict with themselves or in conflict with others, it is usually because of a lack of integrity. Integrity, it really should be the foundation of every Christian's life. Each one of us can have a talent, we can have great determination, we can have vision, but if we do not have integrity, we most likely will never gain all that God has stored up for us to have and to be. A person with integrity, you know this, a person with integrity, they do the right thing when no one is watching, right? The book of Proverbs says it this way, a good name is worth more than great riches. You can't buy a good name. We can say to our children, a son, daughter, always do the right thing, always take the high road. But when they see you or me compromise in some way, should we be surprised later in life if we find out that one of our children has lied? We lead by example. Each one of us has a sphere of influence. Everyone here influences someone for the good or for the bad. When you are a person of integrity, you seek to influence to the good and you keep your commitments. Well, how would you define integrity this morning? What is it? I struggled with that this week because it's so easy just to say, yes, integrity is important, but how do you define it? I came across this definition. Integrity is the process of always seeking to be a whole person, always seeking to be a complete person, to fulfill your purpose in the way that you have been made in God's image. In other words, to be a whole person is to have an organizing principle in your life that helps you really be consistent and sort out all the things that come to you in your life. That's integrity, having that organizing center. You know the term integer. I thought of this. I thought this was helpful. An integer is a whole number. And if you are a whole number, if you are a whole complete person, then you will not be a fraction and you will not be fragmented. You will not have divided loyalties. Your yes will be yes and your no will be no. And you will have an organizing principle in your life of consistency in everything that you faced. In other words, you are not one person one day and another person the next. You are a person of sound, solid, consistent moral principles if you are a person of integrity. The book of Proverbs in chapter 10, verse 9, it says it this way, whoever walks with integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. I like the way the poet Emerson said it. He said it this way, your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes that's true of us. We sometimes say something, but we do something else. Think about this morning. When and where and from whom did you learn about integrity? I can still remember my mother's voice as a young child when I would leave the house and we were going to church and doing lots of things, but she would say as I would go out with friends, she would say, Chris, be sure, in whatever you do, don't cause someone else to stumble. And that's always stayed with me. What we do matters. Our deeds count. And a person with integrity, their deeds match their words. It is so important to be a person of integrity. And I say this morning, I say it lovingly, because if you look at the massive evidence in the news, what we find is that our nation is in the midst of a crisis about its identity, about integrity. Hardly a month goes by, and this has been true for many years, that we don't read about some Roman Catholic priest or a Protestant pastor or a youth leader who in a very sad way got involved with some young person in the church and was guilty of misconduct. We hear that from time to time. Hardly a month goes by that we don't hear about a politician accused of something by someone, and oftentimes we hear that they have resigned from office. Just this past year, scandal arose in some of our top universities in this nation when a man named William Rick Singer, the organizer of a scheme to unethically get students into some top universities, he received money, some $25 million from 2012 to just this past year, from wealthy people, dozens of them, including celebrities and CEOs of both public and private companies. He falsified entrance exam scores. He bribed dozens of college officials who were losing their job now, all to get students enrolled in more than 750 families, not just the two or three celebrities we hear about on television. I could go on and on this morning. You read the news. You know there is a crisis of identity and integrity all around us. Before I go on to make just a few points to lighten things up, I want to tell the story that I love this story about two elderly women who were walking through a cemetery and they were noting the inscriptions on the tombstones. And finally, one woman read the name on the tombstone and the inscription, and it read, John Smith, a politician and an honest man. And the other woman commented, she said, oh my heavens, she said, they've placed two men in the same grave. Just very briefly, I cut this down from four principles to two. First spiritual principle about integrity. People of integrity mean what they say, and they say what they mean. We learn this from Matthew 5:33. The scripture reading that we had for today from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, you have heard it said, you shall not swear falsely, but perform to the Lord that which you have sworn. But I say to you, do not swear at all. And then Jesus goes on, let your word simply be yes or no. And then he adds, anything more than that comes from evil. You see, in Jesus' time, what people would do, they would often back up a promise by swearing in the name of someone or something great, and they felt that that added more credence to what they had sworn to do. For example, they might say, I swear in the name of the great city of Jerusalem, I will be at the Wednesday dinner and Bible study on the life of David this week at 6 p.m. at Northwood. Or they might say, in the name of Northwood Presbyterian Church, I'll be there this Wednesday for the study. Or they might say, as some of you may have said before, I swear on a stack of Bibles that I'll be there Wednesday at 6. You get the message, be there at Wednesday. They thought in Jesus' time that if they swore to do something in the name of something great, it gave what they swore more credibility. But Jesus said in so many words, if you're going to make a commitment, make a commitment. Just be there. Just say yes. Or no. Principle number three. People of integrity can admit when they have made a mistake, and when they do that, they then know they can turn to God for help. I think this is the most important point. That's why I skipped all this other. You've missed some really good stuff here this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 12, I hope you will read it. It is a wonderful story about the prophet Nathan who goes to King David and helps to reveal for David right in front of his eyes through the story of a little lamb that he is guilty of adultery with Bathsheba and killing the great soldier, her husband, Uriah the Hittite. And the prophet Nathan goes to him, he tells this story about a little lamb, and then says to King David, you are that man in the story. And one of the wonderful things about King David to remember when you hear all you've heard on Wednesday night is that when he was confronted by his sins by the prophet Nathan, he was able to turn and say to God, God, I need your help. I need your help. A person with integrity knows when to admit they have made a mistake, and they know when to turn to God for help and for restoration to the community of faith. Here's a quote that I hope you'll remember from a Presbyterian minister, Barbara Brown Taylor. I think she really hits it on the point for us this morning. She writes, "Was David a good man or a bad man? You decide." I think, she writes, he was both. In fact, I think all of us are both. If we remember him as a hero, I hope it's not just because of his victory over Goliath, or because of his writing the Psalms, or because of his many victories in war. I hope we remember King David because of the moment the prophet Nathan confronted him. And it was then that David saw who he was and said so. And it was then that God said to David, "Come home." We believe it was King David that wrote Psalm 51. It's a beautiful psalm. I hope you'll read it. Read it in its entirety. David wrote, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." King David realized he'd made a lot of mistakes, and he was able to tell Almighty God about them, who forgave him. The point is, the line separating good and evil, it passes through each one of us right through the human heart. And people of faith, people who are leaders, especially in the Church of Jesus Christ, who are authentic, can admit when they have made a mistake and know when to turn to God for help. When do we turn to God? Every day. And so may the grace of God help each one of us to be people of integrity as we go from here, living by the very word of God and walking humbly with our Lord. Let us stand for the closing hymn.